This is Right Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes. Johnny, I don't even care this week. I don't care how much energy you have. I don't care. I've got enough for both of us.
You've got the whole show.
I'm just here.
I'm just sitting in. Honestly, I didn't even need to be here.
Oh, no. I need a witness.
Okay.
Because I'm like on the edge of my seat. I've been on the edge of my seat all day. On the edge of, as everybody knows, we record, well, I don't know if everybody knows, but we record on Tuesdays. Right. What happens on Tuesdays? Movies come out.
Yep.
And the home theater gods have smiled on me, John. It has been pouring here.
Oh, really?
So,
well, you were going to take off anyways.
Yeah. But well, now I don't feel guilty about it.
Right. I mean, you were going to be off anyway, but I guess now you have an excuse.
I do. I have an excuse. Yeah. And we're going to do it. You know why they put the milk at the back of the room, at the back of the store?
I do know why.
Oh, you got to wade through it, right? You got to wade through it. But we've already got the milk at the back of the store because we've got a big battle coming up at the end of the show. Dolby Atmos versus DTS:X. So we'll deal with that then. But John, I can't wait. I can't wait. So let's get to it. Sonic 2. That was really good. No. Holy crap. You saw Maverick, right? Top Gun Maverick.
Well, I saw it at the theaters. Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm telling you, it's not an understatement. It's amazing. It's when people get this disc in November, it's so dynamic and they utilize this perfectly, this movie. So like, you know, in movies, they'll bring you into a quiet scene and then they'll come back with something like they did that throughout this movie. The jets, spoilers, there's jets, lots of them. absolutely, absolutely amazing. Watching it on the Kaleidoscape and getting that full dynamic, which on the iTunes, it's just not the same.
Oh, I'm sure.
But this is probably the most, I've heard, the biggest difference I've heard. Remember, I think it was, what was it recently that I said it was 7 or 8 difference? 6 or 7 decibel difference. This is like 9, 10, 8, 9 decibel.
Prey.
You
did that with Prey.
Oh, no, because we don't have Prey on
No, physical. but you had to
watch it at
plus 9 or something like
that. Right, it was, yes, absolutely, you're right, absolutely, because I compared it to the opening of Star Wars to try and get it there. Well, this one on iTunes, I was like, now, to the point that I play, you know, the opening of it, which is basically the opening, it's a remake, a beautiful remake to the opening of the original, right?
Yeah.
So I watched the whole movie, started watching the whole movie on iTunes, and Jen had to go out to the store. So this is at like 9 o'clock this morning. And I said, do you got time to do another A/B test? I go, this is a fun one. I go, this movie's great. She's like, okay. All right. So she comes downstairs. I put her in the good seat and I start the movie right from the beginning and on iTunes, and that the sounds that come in the opening scene, that go across the top of your room. And it's that textbook, you know, Top Gun music, ding, ding, and it moves across the top of your room. Sounds fantastic. Then they start going into the credits and they start coming up, going with them to the beat of the music. Sounds great. Then they get into Danger Zone, right? And that sounds great. Then they go to this other scene where he's in a hangar, and that's where, right after that, I cut it right there. I let that play out for about 30 to 45 seconds so you can hear how quiet it gets, but it sounds great. I stop it and I looked at her and I go, what'd you think? She goes, oh, that's really good. I go, okay. here's the Kaleidoscape. I put it on. As soon as the opening scene, the first like 3 seconds when that sound starts coming across the top of your room, her eyes went wide and looked at me and was like, wow. Because she's like, there's a difference there. There's a difference there.
Yeah.
So then you let it play out, and Todd Anderson actually tweeted out the opening, the one I'm talking about right here. And when they get to that, when they show Top Gun on the screen right after they give you the little write-up, and it's, but all of those things go, like I said, go to the beat, all of the titles, names, and everything. You really notice it, and you'll notice it on the disc because the bass that you're getting when they go, and it's like, you know, Tom Cruise, but that bass that hits, it's the loudest in the opening credits, and it's got like multiple layers to it. It's like gung gung, like really loud, and you can feel it like a couple of times in your chest when that Top Gun goes on your screen, and you're like, this is going to be amazing. And it was. It's the entire thing is, I was blown away. I was like, awesome. It's so much fun. And the have you seen any of the comments and people talking about variable aspect ratio?
A little back and forth. I mean, I was at work till just now, so I didn't get to see a lot of stuff. But
yeah,
but I mean, I saw some of the Twitter comments on your threads.
Yeah,
about it. So
yeah, I said last week, and I stand by it. I said, you know, variable aspect ratio is a little gimmicky. And it rarely, and I purposely wrote that a week ago, it rarely really adds to the movie, right?
Right.
And, you know, I've said this in the past, like Black Panther, for instance, I think it adds to the movie. The way they utilized it in that movie, and I always reference that scene where it gradually opens up when he goes into Wakanda for the first time. So that kind of pulls you in and adds to the movie. I thought The Dark Knight kind of did it, but in this movie, I think it adds to the movie, because if you're on a 16:9 screen, and I'll get to that in a second, if you're on a 16:9 screen, when this opens up on those and it does it on like most of the fighter scenes, okay, you kind of get your hopes up at first, because it keeps on the opening, it's like the very first 5 seconds you have bars, and then it opens up and it pretty much stays there for, it seems like 10 minutes. So you're like, maybe this is the whole thing, which I would prefer that. I like the taller screen, but it comes back down. Okay. Some people have tweeted out a scene where it's come back down and stuff, but anyway, so it does come down to 240, but when it does open up, you feel it. And you notice it because they get right in their faces, and there's like you've seen the movie. So, you know, like when they're in the cockpit and they're flying, or you've seen the trailers, right? And their faces, it's like Tom Cruise's face from top to bottom of your screen. Right. And in 4K HDR, and even on the iTunes, it looks fantastic. The detail that you're seeing in there, the helmet, the face shield, the air pieces, everything you're seeing, plus the background that you're seeing when they're flying. So that's when it, like, his face is right there. And then there's other times when it's pulled back a little bit and you can actually see the wings, but it actually, like, the distance you can see behind them is awesome. It pulls you in so much. And there's actually a few scenes in the planes that they don't go to the, widescreen, the IMAX, right?
Right.
Sorry. And they keep you in 240. And I think they're doing it to be like, so you notice the difference. Because when they go to any of those scenes, you're like, why isn't this bigger? Why isn't this bigger? And then they do it, and you're like, yeah! I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. And I was actually thinking of putting out a video on, like, we've discussed Travis. He has a 240:1 screen. Todd has one, and it's like, I get it. I get that choice. But I think some people are missing the idea that, like, you want to cover as much area as you can with your screen. And it's in my room, I have a wide, you know, a 240:1 screen because I'm as wide as I can go. I just happen to be able to fit taller that way too. So I mask that off when I'm watching a strict 240:1 screen. So I don't want to get into a ton of that right now, but it's on for most people with a 16:9 display. This get up nice and close to it, give yourself that experience, and it's you're gonna be like just sucked right in just off that image alone. And then add in the sound being that much that dynamic, right? And it's, I mean, the aspect ratios are dynamic, the picture, the HDR is amazing and dynamic and plays, it does play well on iTunes. This is one of those movies that it's so dynamic. The movie's so bright, so dynamic. There's so much there that it actually does play well, you know, in contrast to the Batman that's more nuanced, right? And doesn't play well through streaming. So I definitely looks fantastic. The sound is lacking on the iTunes big time. Right. And if you, even when you bump it up, you just don't, you'll get it louder, but you just don't get that real nice dynamic that you can get when you're going to get the disc. And that's why I'm like, I said it last week, I'll say it again. I'm like, get the digital, enjoy it for two and a half months. And then when you throw that disc in, you'll be like, holy crap, DJ, that was amazing. Cause it really is. I have a few scenes I can give out for people, just spoiler free, of course. But we have at 16 minutes, you know, the scene, John, it's basically the reenactment of when he finds out he's going to Top Gun, you know, he's in that office. Right. There's a clock ticking that I didn't hear in the theater, and listen, when you see it, listen for it. And it's like, it's off to, I felt like it was off to the left side of my room, but it, I mean, it is like just like a clock on the wall would be, but it is so discreet and it is so like, so clear. And I'm like, that was not, you couldn't hear that in a big theater filled with people and the speakers farther away. That I thought was really cool. Cause I started looking around my room. I'm like, why? There's no clock in here. Cause it's a quieter scene. Right. And you're like, what the, and, the bar scene, that one was at 16 minutes at 25 minutes, the bar scene, we'll call it. It's Top Gun. There's going to be a bar, no spoilers.
Right.
But the music in the bar is placed, like, I want to say perfectly, it's around you on three sides and the characters are in the front and they're by a window, whatever. So you hear them perfectly, but you feel like it's that bar that's around you and it, and the way people are moving around you. And then the music throughout this is really good. Cause they drop in some music, so the soundtrack to some of the flying and everything is really, really amazing. 33:45 tension on deck. So we're at Top Gun. They're introducing a character and they say attention on deck and two jets fly in and you get a pan from front, right off to the left, down the side of your room to the back of your room, and then panning out back in the middle of the room. So this thing goes like halfway around the, and you're sitting there and it's, again, it's a quieter scene. They're introducing a character and you get the whoosh. And then while you're sitting there listening to the voices come from the front, you're like looking down the side of your room, like, there they go. It sounded awesome. It was really, really cool. 46:05. This one I just called a transition. I don't know. The only way I can describe this, have you ever like scanned through a movie, you've left it at the high volume you've listened at, right? And you come in right in the middle of a loud scene, but your whole room was just like perfectly quiet. And then just all of a sudden you get that bang, like really loud noise. And you're like, oh my God, that's what it was. And that's what I'm talking about, how they use the sound in this in quiet moments. So your screen goes black, it's a transition, and they come in with this amazing bass thump that the only thing it I can liken it to is like if you just jumped into the middle of a scene, and it's that, and it's that loud, and it makes you like wow, and it gets you right into the scene. Awesome at 1 hour, 18 minutes and 10 seconds. Nice little conversation outside by the ocean. You have the ocean on the left side, but there's some bushes on the right side. And you can hear the ocean waves and everything on the left side of your room. But on the right side of your room, through the breeze, through the bushes. And you can hear the bushes on that side of the room. It was just, I was like, oh, that's so nice. It's so cool. Like that detail was so nice. I was, it's like I was sitting there like a fly on the wall watching the conversation. And then I had at 1:20, even 1 hour, 20 minutes, WTF, 5 boxes of popcorn. So okay. Just go there. You'll know what I'm talking about. And basically it's, that's the end of, you know, it's not the end of the movie, but you'll know that scene. And then the final battle scene, which spoilers, Top Gun has a final battle scene.
Right.
It's, I can't wait to break it down when we do spoilers someday on this, because there's the details that you can hear between the base of the engines. And then, you know, those, I'll give you two things. You know, in the trailers, when you see the jets go and you'll see that white, like not smoke, but like going over the wing, the wings, like the air go, and it's showing the air go over the wings.
Right.
You can hear that. Okay. And then, you know, they're pulling these G's and you see their faces, which is why I think they wanted to do this IMAX, because when they get close up on their faces, you're seeing their faces for real. And that's one of the things that's in the extras and stuff. Like, they did this for real. That's why they use those planes and everything like that. So that's amazing. But hearing that noise, you can hear those wings. You can hear the winds around the plane going. But then when they're pulling some of those G's to climb, and they, you can hear the metal twisting, and it's awesome. It, you'll hear that, like, just along with everything else going on, there is just so much detail to this. It's, I don't know. Should I take a breath?
You should. You might pass out.
I know. I'm pulling G's just sitting here.
I know.
It was awesome. Awesome. I can't wait to go back and watch it again. I can't wait for Joe to come home from school so I can
watch it again.
Joe school.
From work.
From work. Yeah. And I can show him that opening and the differences. And so, he's already seen the movie, so I can actually show him some clips too, but we can jump to some clips, but I don't know. I don't know what to say, John.
I think you said it.
I think I said it. Should we just end the show? No. No, we have too much else to get to. But yeah, so that'll do it for Top Gun Maverick for this week.
For now.
I will be talking about it more next week, I'm sure. But yeah, absolutely. I can't stress enough. I think it's definitely worth the digital, because, you know, if it was only 3 weeks, yeah, but you're going to get 2.5 months of enjoyment and be able to analyze it. And then you throw the disc in and just be like, and then do it all over again. Ugh. That's what our theaters are for, right?
It is. But for most people that aren't you, 2.5 months means one viewing. That's it. It's not like, oh, you can savor this for two. Now, technically you can, right? But most people don't watch it every day. So, like, I'll get one viewing out of that and then I'll have the disc, right? So.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And then when the disc comes, I'll be like, well, I just watched it, so I'm not watching it again.
Okay, so I you're saying I'm crazy?
Oh, where did I go? Never mind.
What do you mean, where did you go? You're right there.
Something happened on the screen, and my whole half of the screen blocked off, and I was like, am I disconnecting? But then it came back. So
nope, you've been here the whole time, buddy.
All right.
Been here the whole time.
I thought I would, because the last couple of weeks we've had problems with disconnecting. So
yeah.
I thought I was going away.
Nope. Nope. Been here the whole time.
Cool.
Yeah. That, oh boy. That, yeah. All right. Let's see. What do we got going on? What do we got next? Oh, you know what we got to do? Let's get to, our promo page.
Okay.
All right. If you like and you like what you're seeing and you're hearing, hit subscribe on YouTube. Really appreciate that. Climbing our way to 1,000. You can support the podcast on Twitter at BrightsideHD. Great way to support the podcast is just promoting us. Just letting people know that we're here, and, you know, that's how we grow. If you'd like to be on the show or have any comments, send them to brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And for all of the shows, all the other information, all the links and stuff like that, go to brightsidehometheater.com. And John, what's your favorite, buddy?
That would be patreon.com/brightsidehometheater.
There you go. Yeah. Patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. And yeah, if you go there and support as little as a dollar, all the money, 50% of that money is going towards charity a month. And thank you to everybody for supporting that. This month's is Safe Coalition. And John, you've got some information. We have some big information this week. Let's lead off with Graham from last week. Forgot this one, but we'll lead off with this one. We were so excited last week because Graham had upped his, but we forgot to mention that he was also the patron of the week. So what's the information? How many months? He's been around. He's been one of the early ones as well.
Yeah, 18 months.
Okay. Cool. So that's almost as long.
Since the beginning. Yeah.
Well, I started. Yeah, a little longer than that because I didn't start Patreon right away. But he was very much early adopter. Thanks, Graham. Really appreciate that. And last week he was one that upped it. So we had another upping this week. Let's not give the amount away, but can we give the percentage? It's four times.
400%.
Insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane. And would you like to read that name off, John? You have
Paul
trouble?
Paul Vanderwall.
Yes, Paul.
Well, no, I have a little icon right in front of the last name.
Oh, okay.
So I was trying to see what that last name was. No. Paul Vanderwall. Yep.
Oh, man. Paul. Well, we're moving on now. Moving on. Thank you. Thank you very much. Four times the amount he was already giving. And I don't want to give away the amount, but it wasn't given a buck. So thank you, Paul. He was also my guest on Tuesday, on the Tuesday podcast. Yeah. And he upped it on Tuesday. He upped it right before we started. I saw it right before we started recording, and I haven't had a chance to text it or email him and thank him yet. But I was like, what did he hear the recording? And was like, wow, he did a great job. I'm going to up that.
Right.
I was like, he was fantastic on the show. He thanked us on the show for doing just that, doing the donations and doing what we do and stuff. And I was like, oh man, thank you. I mean, brought awareness on that episode. Cause I try not to talk about that stuff too much over there. It's like, cause you know me, I don't like to talk about that stuff.
Right.
But Paul, thank you.
You wait till I'm around to be the heavy.
Exactly. Exactly. You're getting what I'm putting down. We've been together a long time. But Paul, thank you very, very much. That was very, very generous. I want to say you didn't have to do that, but thank you. And who's the listener of the patron of the week this week?
This week, it's Carl Riccici.
Yeah.
Riccici?
Yeah. Riccici. Yeah. And he's been, how long?
Also at 18 months.
18 months, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been all around a long time as well. Thank you, Carl. We have, Carl and I have a big back and forth. He's been a very loyal listener and supporter for a long time, an inspirer of great needling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you this.
Oh, is this Carl from San Antonio?
Yeah.
Or Austin or wherever?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And he also listened to our other podcast. Yep. That's Carl.
Okay.
So he would needle me about the Kaleidoscape, and he's always like, oh, it doesn't do this right, it doesn't do this, it doesn't do this. Well, guess what Carl did?
Oh, jeez. Did he buy one?
Yeah. Kyle got himself a Kaleidoscape.
Awesome.
So then I just saw this email before we started. He emails the group, HD guys, AV rant guys, right? Wicked funny.
Right.
So he emails like he's ripping me because these little kids are like, DJ doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, I think it was Saturday night, whatever it was. I was out with Jen and I get a DM and he sends me a screen grab of Jurassic World Dominion on Kaleidoscape, right? He sends me the screen grab and I go, and he says, do they have the extended edition? And is this the extended edition in, is it in DTSX? And I said, ha ha ha. I'm like, wait till you hear the show on Friday. Right. Because what I was thinking is I'm like, I thought he's busting my balls because he's always making fun of the stuff that Kaleidoscape can't do. Oh, I can't do this. E loves this movie. It's not on Kaleidoscape. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. I never said it had everything. So he sends me a screen grab and it says on it that it's 2 hours and 23 minutes, which is the theatrical version. And it says right there, the Dolby Atmos. Now this is on Saturday night and he goes, I just bought it. It's the wrong one. What are you doing to me? You're not helping me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm sorry. I thought you were kidding. And I sent him the exact same screen grab he sent me, but I put two arrows to it to like, the information's all right there. And he goes, yeah, what kind of help is this? And I go, I am sorry. I didn't realize you didn't know how to read. It's all right there. So we go back and forth and we,
Sounds like you're not appreciating Carl for his 18 months of service right now.
He cracks me up. It's so funny because he's like, no, oh, this, blah, 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 I don't know what, this is horrible. Where do I get one?
Where do I sign?
Where do I get one of those?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Kyle's one of those, he's one of those home theater enthusiasts that's, he's got FOMO about stuff that he hasn't even heard of yet. he's like, as soon as he's like, ah, like, what about this? Should I get this? I'm like, no, calm down. Yeah. No, he's super enthusiastic, super passionate, just like me.
So, yep.
So thank you, Kyle. Unfortunately for the, like, I won't have a story like that for every listener, but Kyle emails us multiple times a week. Right. It's so funny. Very entertaining. All right. John, do you have any tweaks this week?
No, I do not.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I've just sat and...
I just sat and watched.
Yes, I did. Oh,
That's awesome.
Yeah, let's get to listener experiences. Let's get to listener experiences. Because I'm pretty sure there's some questions in there. And last week... John, you're going to have to remind me when we get to real home theater experiences. We never read the ones that I put in the folder last week. Remember I said I've been moving people I have a folder just for that so I can read their experiences. So we never did that last week. So, all right, listener experiences. Let's get going here. So G. Cornell says, going forward, when you dig into a movie, why not add your popcorn rating? In other words, a top-notch movie like U571, he's busting my balls on that one because it's in the can and I just haven't produced it yet. Okay. I'd give it 4 boxes of popcorn. And if you're clever, you'd have 4 boxes of popcorn appear on the screen in sequence. One popping up, then the next popping up, then the next, and then the sound of the popcorn in the background, maybe in Atmos. I'm reading this and I'm going, okay, do you want to produce all that?
I say nobody likes a backseat producer.
I know.
G. Cornell.
But did you see, I just tweeted it before we got on, did you see that they have Dolby Atmos for podcasting now? Dolby's putting it out and there's,
oh no,
I'm like, I'm gonna look into it. I know I can't have it now, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like, in a couple of years, it's going to be a simple add-on to do something, and you'd be like, oh, hey. Another thing for me to just sit there and...
I don't need me in Dolby Atmos.
Well, I could put you in the back corner of the room.
Yeah,
put me
in that's the it. I'll be in the overhead. Room, yeah,
and we could do the walk-around.
the back right overhead.
What I would do, honestly, if I could do that and if I could produce it, I would do our opening. I'd redo our opening in Dolby Atmos, and then our show would just be us talking, right? But if I could do that, and then boom, it would go out. But can you imagine the bandwidth it would
take? Yeah. Well, and then for most people that are just listening in their car, there's no effect anyways. Nobody's going to take advantage of it.
You don't have the Mercedes with Dolby Atmos?
I do not, no.
for your 20-minute commute?
Yeah. So it's like 7 minutes, actually.
Yeah.
It's like not even 20 round trip.
I know. So. Oh, yeah. HD visits. Let's see. Yesterday's Paul, let me see where this goes. I think those steps. Oh, Paul, talking about being on the show or getting together with people. That's what it was. So Paul emailed me about, I mentioned last week about getting together with people and going to people's houses and people getting together out there. And I think that's just going to have to happen organically, the way I kind of talked about it in Tuesday's podcast. And saying, like, the way Mike and Johnny Speakers, the way they got together was just basically hearing where each other was from on the Tuesday podcast.
Right.
So I think the best way is, and I know this is going to be great to attract people to the show, but if you want people to know, come on the show, right? And then you put out where you want to be or where you live, and then other people will hear, and then you start setting it up. Because that's what happened with Omar. Omar heard where Johnny Speakers was and Mike and was like, well, I'm heading in that direction anyways for business or work. I don't know why he was up there. But then they set it up. So that's going to happen organically that way. But as far as myself, I came up with like kind of like how I could do it, like go to people's house. If you come on my show, I'll be happy to go to your house. Once I go to your house, then it'll be like, I'll invite people to my house to see the thing in that, you know what I mean? Cause I can't be like, just everybody showing up. I mean, I do want that. Right. I do. I have a bunch of people already in the area that I want to come down and are eligible. But yeah, so that was, it's fun to even explore that. And hopefully that's going to be a big thing. Cause that's what we're all looking to do anyways, right? Meet more people and then actually share our theaters with those people. So, and if anybody has any other ideas on how we can facilitate that even more, let me know, you know, or if you don't want to come on the show, but you're like, hey, I'm in the such and such area, I'll put it out on the podcast, like I said last week, but I need your permission to do that. So, all right, YouTube, from 12 Strong, Theo M, our buddy Theo. Hi, the opening always makes me laugh now that intro with you and John is funny. How we're always, we're so inconsistent is that's what's consistent.
Right.
Also, should
just record it, so.
What fun is that? let's see. Oh, on YouTube, this is Lior1973 says, shouldn't the comparison, this is from 12 Strong on Netflix and Kaleidoscape, that was the title. Shouldn't the comparison be between a Kaleidoscape and the physical media version? I'm not sure the streaming and Kaleidoscape are comparable.
Well, they're not, but that's what we had.
Well, one, that's what we had, and two, that's somebody... If you'd listen to the show, that's somebody going by the headline and making the comment.
Right.
If you listen to the show, we explained what, one, the Kaleidoscape was similar to the Blu-ray, and two, why we did it that way. There was very good reasons for all of that. So that's the difference between reading an article and just reading the headlines, John.
I'm guilty of that. But. Like, I'm not going to go out and buy every disc just so we can talk about it.
So. This is Theodore. Theodore wrote in and gave us the heads up on the Red Dawn 4K disc false advertising. Did you hear about this?
Oh, no.
I have it right here, Hyundai. There's my 4K disc of Red Dawn. And on the back, it says Dolby Atmos. And there's the Dolby Atmos logo right there.
Okay.
There's no Dolby Atmos.
Really?
Nope. And Theodore was kind enough to... It only has... not only does it not have Dolby Atmos, it doesn't even have Dolby. It's a DTS:X. Oh, DTS Master Audio. Sorry, 5.1. Right. And he called... what was it? Shout Factory. And they said, yeah, that was a mistake. A misprint. I'm like...
Oh, so it's a misprint or the disc was a mistake?
No, it's a there is no Atmos track.
Yeah.
It's a misprint. And we went back and forth and we're hoping that it would actually be a mistake, that the disc was in error.
Right.
But no, it was... I don't know if you can call that a misprint. Because a misprint is you misspelled something, but not to actually throw the wrong logo on there, the wrong codec, wrong information. So Theodore, thank you very much. Really appreciate that. He got back to me. I said, I can't wait to get home and see what mine has, because we weren't sure. Maybe his was a bad disc, whatever. Right. He got back to me in a couple hours because Shout Factory got right back to him. And he told me, and I was like, still haven't thrown the disc in yet, but that is disappointing. But I am looking forward to the 4K version, 4K look of it. See what that's like. Brockstar on Twitter says, talking about Dolby Cinema, he says, ugh, that's too bad. Dolby Cinema is usually the way to go, but since this is an IMAX special, I'll do it. I enjoy your podcast, sir. And he was talking, he sent us the image of IMAX Rogue One, Star Wars Rogue One.
Oh, yeah, they're coming out,
re-releasing with extra footage, right?
I think so.
Pretty sure, yeah. So more than one reason to go see it. But unfortunately, I don't have easy access to an IMAX theater. But on that, I said, Thanks, Dart Brockstar. That's his name on Twitter. I said, yes, I prefer Dolby Cinema by a wide margin over IMAX. IMAX has bloated sound that can be distracting at times. I feel Dolby Cinema is the closest to the director's intention and the most consistent across the country. IMAX is anything but consistent. And then Dolby liked it and said, you said it, not me. They sent the meme. They sent the art GIF of that, so that was pretty cool. Dolby actually liked it. But, I'm actually looking forward to that. I'm hoping they come out with it. What I'm hoping they do is they come out with that on Disney Plus, similar to the IMAX Enhanced stuff that we have in the Marvel Universe. And that would be kind of cool if they give us that version on Star Wars stuff,
too. Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus. I'd love to get it on disc, but I know Disney.
You're right.
Let's see, Mark. All right. Podcast listener saying hi. This one's a little bit longer. He says, hi, DJ. My name is Mark Hader. I've been listening to your home theater podcasts since around the time of first Thanksgiving podcast you did with the HT guys and AV Rink guys. I normally listen to your podcasts while riding my bike or mowing the yard. I always look forward to them. I can relate to so many of the things you talk about and seem to get a laugh out loud moment. We're clowns, John. a couple months ago on one of your podcasts, you talked about getting a new house. And when you drive by houses, you'd imagine what kind of floor plan the house had and if a home theater would work in it. That was so me. I recently retired and decided to move to another town where my family is at. So that meant looking for a new house. While shopping for houses online, the first thing I'd look for is, does it have a good room for a home theater? I'm currently in the process of building a house. When I toured a model home of the floor plan I picked, I immediately knew it was the one. When I saw the family room in the basement, it won't be a totally shut the door dedicated type of room, but it is really close. Most importantly, there aren't any windows in the room and I can totally light control it. So I'm very excited about it. I have watched countless hours of YouTube and read just as many articles on various forums and internet searches. I currently have planned for a 7-2-4 setup with a projector, Next Friday, I do an electrical walkthrough with the electrician, and we'll be able to show him what I want for pre-wiring. I have AV equipment from my old house that I will use. There are some additional items I will need. I plan to put a server rack in the adjacent utility room for that equipment. What I have right now, he has a Marantz 7706, an Emotiva XBA7, SVS Prime Towers, Center Satellites, Prime Elevation, and two SBS SB2000 subs, an NVIDIA Shield, a Panasonic 820, Harmony Hub, an Elite Remote, Plex. It sounds like my theater, John.
Yeah.
Plex server, Kick acoustic panels.
Sounds a lot like it.
Yeah. He says, what I plan to add is an Emotiva Bass X4, four SVS Prime Elevations, JVC DLA NP5 projector, good choice, Seymour 150-inch 235-to-1 fixed screen, theater seating yet to be decided on, and Gick acoustic panels as needed. So he goes on from there, but what I really liked about this and why I wanted to read that is this is part of the fun, right? It's like, he's in an apartment right now, he goes on to say, so he doesn't get to have that, but that is part of the experience, right? It's like, he's excited. I would be. He's writing in an email to a home theater podcast about doing the walkthrough for pre-wiring. Cause you're going to be like, right. I want speakers here. And that's all part of the fun. And I'm hopefully I'll be going through that soon. But yeah, that's fantastic. So I went on, I'm like, Mark, sounds like you would be a great guest on Takeover Tuesday. So he's like, okay, so we're going to set that up as soon as our schedules permit. But yeah, it's so funny. It's like how we all have the same like ideas and experiences. YouTube comment. Okay. One more coffee. I love that name because he's writing in every week now and we have to say, okay, one more coffee.
Right.
You really have to say that as I just keep chatting away here. Great show. I have to say the dynamic volume off is growing on me. I did have to up the center two and the surrounds one and the height channels plus one. It seems to be dialed in now. Always willing to try. Cheers. Okay. I love that. I mean, to each his own. I know a lot of people run those things a little hot. But I would say try not doing that. And then let those sounds let them come to you. Instead of, if your room is calibrated correctly, the sounds will come to you that are supposed to come to you instead of like pushing, giving them that extra nudge. That's how I look at it.
Right.
But I do know most people like to run them hot anyways. So. But that is great because I think we do have a comment coming up where somebody talks about that again. So about dynamic volume again. Let's see. Netflix look and feel article. Jason sent this one in. And I think I'm going to have to put this into the show notes. This is an article where somebody writes an article. I think it's on vice.com. Vice.com. And it's like, why does everything on Netflix look like that? And what's funny is when you read through the article, you know how on here we say how great everything looks?
Right.
Okay. Because we have the setups. Everybody listening to us has the setups to take advantage of the HDR, of the 4K, and all of this. And as I read this article, I'm thinking, is this old? But it wasn't, because they were talking about the Sandman.
Right.
And they're saying like how bad things look. But what's happening is according to this article, if you're not getting the 4K uptick, right? If you're not getting the 4K version of Netflix, this is getting compressed even worse. And when you do that, it alters the image and it makes it look not so good. It looks dark and whatever. They describe it a lot better in the article. But what they're saying is like people are watching this on, you know, standard def. Their televisions probably aren't calibrated for anything. They used to be in vibrant mode. And this stuff probably all looks wrong to them. And they're like, why is all the, and it was funny reading the entire, not once did they say any of what I'm saying now. They just said, this is just wrong. Right. But what they don't understand is they're not set up to take advantage of what it's supposed to look like. And it right. reminded me of the Game of Thrones season 8, episode 3, when the whole world went, this looks like junk. It's like, well, right. yeah, that's where you need, you know, HDR, and it's black levels are horrible. So, really good article. Hopefully I remember to put it into the show notes.
Yeah.
Okay. Last comment here is, Van Gool. Great. He says, great show. This is on the 12 Strong Netflix Kaleidoscape show. Great show. Because we live in a townhouse and can't do high volume, we have dynamic volume on. If I had a room just for a home theater, I would turn it off. My home theater experience is annihilation. I heard it is a good sci-fi movie. I like the cast and good LFE during the animal attacks. I agree. But what I would say about that dynamic volume, if you're in a townhouse, if you have like a Denon or a Marantz and you have access to dynamic EQ instead of dynamic volume, that will work even, I think it works even better, because then you can get the full home theater experience, but you have it at a lower volume, but then it bumps up the quieter volumes for you so that you can still hear them, but it's right. not, you can go minus 20 dB, and it's, if you lowered it that low without dynamic EQ on, some of those sounds would just flat out disappear. Right.
Right.
And with it on, it's actually going to bring them up a little, so inappropriately, so that you can hear them in the surrounds and stuff. So if you have access to that, I would try and, you know, see which one, because that, at least with dynamic EQ, you're going to get a little bit more of the highs and lows. It's not going to be the same as reference level with nothing on, but you're going right. to get that. And that one on the, it actually does less and less as closer you get to reference level too. So,
right.
I would give that a shot. All right. But all right. That's it for listener experiences. We do have some for scenes later. So,
okay.
All right. And we have come to the part of the show where we go across the pond. And
all right,
I actually don't know what's going to happen this week, because I haven't talked to Steve yet.
Well, we haven't done it yet.
No, he
all right.
He is ensconcing in Spain, so okay. we're going real big time international here. And but hey, let's see how he's doing. Our own Bruce Wayne.
That's right.
How we doing, Steve?
Man about town.
Hola, DJ. ¿Qué tal? Estoy aquí en España y me gustó mucho hablando contigo de todas las cosas del cine del casa. Y está muy bien verte otra vez. Y vamos a hablar de todas las cosas. Bueno, hay un problema, no sé qué has pasado. Por alguna razón estoy hablando en español y quiero hablar solamente en inglés. Bueno, espérate un momentillo. Aquí hay un botón. Dicen que pulsar el botón por el versión inglés. Bueno, vale.
Oh.
Espérate un momentillo. Ah, sí. Bueno, there we go. Hi, DJ.
Hey.
How you doing? I didn't realize that there was a button here for the English version. There's a Spanish version of this video. I can only apologize. So, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good now. I got one word out of all that. Momento. Towards the end.
Well, that's it. Very true. Yes, there you go. This is a misspent youth in Spain. Misspent youth. Yeah, I grew up here. I spent 10 years here. So, it's nice to be down here practicing Spanish, speaking it as much as I can. It's great fun.
Yeah, so I can't remember if I said it earlier in the show or not, but Steve's coming to us all the way from Spain. He's on holiday. Is that what you call it, that holiday?
Yeah. On holiday. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not a vacation, although either's good. We're on the south coast of Spain, a little along from Malaga on the eastern Costa del Sol. Very nice here for a couple of weeks. Yeah, 30 degree temperatures, so that's about 85 in Fahrenheit, so it's not bad. But it's going to be climbing to about 33, 34 later in the week. So yeah, very nice. Hence why I've got the hat on, because I've got a bit sunburnt on the on my head and indeed on my shoulders.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, so I'm recovering.
So is that, I got to imagine the sun's way more intense down there than it is up at where you live, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you won't probably be able to see, but there is the sea in the background there, and just across from that's Africa. Yeah. So it's, you know, it gets very warm, and especially in this time of year in August, it's, it's always absolutely roasting, which is nice. But the big difference between here and England, by the way, I feel I'm always telling you about the weather. I don't know why. Anyway, but the big difference between here and England is, it is. But here in England, here in Spain, we have air conditioning. So in every room, so it's much, much nicer. So
you don't want to go home.
No, indeed. Yeah. I mean, it's 26, 27 there today in England. So it's, they're warm and they have no air conditioning, at least not in normal houses. So, it's good.
Wow. Very nice. Mm. That's awesome. So, so because you're down there, I mean, I really appreciate you doing all this, coming to us from Spain. You're on your holiday, or as we say here, you know, rudimentary
vacation.
it just doesn't sound as fancy. You guys are so much more eloquent than us.
And yet yours is closer to the Spanish. The Spanish for holiday is vacaciones. So actually you're closer than we would be. So, you know.
Jeez, that's weird. That's okay. All right, one in our side. Okay, that's it. One.
Yeah, there you go. You win.
Oh, so
excuse me.
I know you haven't had a lot. You haven't been able to take in a lot this week. Anything before? I got a couple questions for you, but
I've been to two places that I thought would be nailed on 4K stores.
Okay.
One was a really big supermarket when I was last here 10 years ago. They had DVDs and Blu-rays. And then another one, which is called Media Market, which is a Spanish version of Best Buy. And I thought, oh, here we go. Mm. This will be great. I'm sorry to say, neither of them, not only did they not have any 4K, they didn't have any Blu-rays either, which is rather worrying for those of us that still like our physical
media.
So it
truly is a Spanish version of Best Buy, because they don't have anything over here either.
This is the thing. I mean, it used to be with Best Buy. When I got to America, the first thing I do is find the nearest Best Buy, wherever that might be, and I would be straight there and guaranteed to leave with fistfuls of physical media. But I see on Twitter and lots of people posting photos of just empty shelves, almost as far as the eye can see. So unfortunately with that, no, but I have been able to watch some content on my iPad, which is, at least it gives me something to talk about. and it links to John, actually, to be fair. He mentioned last week, 5 days in Memorial, the Apple Plus series about Hurricane Katrina. And when he mentioned it, I thought that sounds interesting. So I downloaded those and I've watched 2.5 episodes so far. It is fantastic. It's really good. And interestingly, something John didn't mention that might be something you're going to bring up, because I know we've been talking about it. It has variable aspect ratios.
Mm.
So most of the shows in 2.35 are 16:9 or 2.35. And then when you get archival footage, it goes to 4:3.
Oh, yeah.
And then there are certain CG shots where it goes to 1.85. So it's got all these changing aspect ratios, which say John didn't mention. So I'm looking forward to watching it on the big screen when I get home. But it's a really, really good series. So I don't know if you've had a chance to watch that yet.
I did.
Just Top Gun 23 times.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's what I've already opened the show with that. I jumped right to it. Had to, I took it in, quite a few times already, and this is still just day one. So,
I am sorely tempted to buy the digital version. I must admit, I don't think I can wait till the 1st of November.
Well, that's what I've been advising people, because my recommendation is that, because what we like to do is see what differences are, or at least one of the things I like to do is see what the differences are in these things. And and as I said earlier to John, I said, here's a great opportunity to take this in the digital for 2.5 months. And John's like, to most people, that's one or two viewings. It's like, yeah. So it's not that big of a deal. He goes, not everybody's like you, DJ, that'll take this in like daily. And I'm like, point, good point. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, and I think the movie's worth it too, because it is that good of a movie. So I supporting it in all of the formats. Most importantly, though, is the physical media, because we don't want to see that go away. So if you have to put your vote someplace, I guess that would be the place to put it. If you're only going to vote once, then do physical media. But if you can vote twice, vote for all of them. I would. And I did already.
Well, I think I've got a rare opportunity with this one, because if I download it while I'm here and then I watch it on the plane, it'll be like a 4DX experience, won't it? So you'll be sort of hoping for a bit of turbulence to sort of really give it that edge. And I promise not to shout, you know, do some of that pilot shit or anything like that to the captain, because he won't like that, I'm sure.
No. Can we do a barrel roll?
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. 4DX, I'm thinking. Yeah, that was that sort of 5DX,
maybe. That's a whole other level. speaking of that, in the digital, there's the extras in it, and it shows one of the extras. I think it's 9 minutes long. Take Flight, I think, something like that. But it basically, it's it shows you what the actors went through to get into those planes, and like every single one of them were like, we just thought we were just going to be in a movie, and we're like, there's no way they're putting us in one of these planes, right? And they worked them. They started out in a Cessna, worked their way all the way up to what is it, the F-35, and that they had. But it took months for them to get there. Yeah. And then I one of the lines I heard in that was really good. Is like, that's not acting. And they were showing like the close-ups.
Yeah, the G-force.
Yeah, and they're like, that's not acting. We're not acting there. We're just trying to not throw up and not pass out in those planes. And that's why I think, and we can get right to the aspect ratio. I think you're similar to me on the aspect ratio thing, but where that aspect ratio really plays in this movie is those dead on close ups of the pilots' faces. And when they go into these, into the dogfights or whatever, or the flying, it's not even dogfights, some of it's training. But when they get into those planes and the aspect ratio opens up to the 185 and they get some close-ups and it is like chin to forehead, but they have their helmets on 185. There's Tom Cruise, Miles Tell, all the actors. And I mean, the detail in their helmets and stuff, and that's all, and them laughing and stuff when they were joking, and especially in the early parts of the movie. But then when they get into those G-forces, and you see them and their faces and the wrinkles and everything, that it, I didn't think it was going to play that well in 185. If you remember my comments last week, I'm like, it's I said, and I said this earlier in the podcast too, I said, rarely is this variable aspect ratio, rarely does it work for a movie, right? Yeah. I thought it was kind of gimmicky. But this one is one of the few that it does. It actually is a part of the movie, because when that opens up, you're just like, as I said earlier, there's a couple of flying scenes where it doesn't open up. It's just kind of like they'll just show them flying and it'll be like, and you're still at the, you know, the CinemaScope and you're wanted. And I think they did that on purpose to make you realize, like, see what it would be like if we didn't open up on you. So,
you can, it's pretty much close enough to watch the blood vessels in their eyes pop when they sort of, you know, the 7 or 8 G. You'd like to think, though, wouldn't you, that any actor these days worth their salt, if someone says it's called Top Gun, Tom Cruise is in it. Yeah, it's not going to be CG, is it? It's gonna be real. I've seen an interview with Miles Teller actually on a talk show there in England. He's Tom Cruise is in the studio and then Miles Teller's on a video link and they're being interviewed by this talk show host called Graham Norton, and he said to Miles Teller, did you know what it was going to be like? And Miles Teller says, well, I wasn't sure. I thought probably we'd do a little bit on the ground and then, you know, that would be fine. And Tom Cruise says to him then, I told you, we spoke for hours. I told you what this was going to be like.
Yeah.
But still, I think it's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yeah, that exactly. And that's what they said. Some of the actors said in that little clip that I saw, and they were like, yeah, they told us, but there's no way. They said, there's no way they're putting him in one of these Raptors. You know, there's no way we're going up in these planes. We're going to be doing this. And it's like, and I could see that bit of disbelief too, because when you think of it, like, okay, we got to shoot these shots. And it's like, how many millions of dollars did that? Well, I don't know if they paid, because they worked in conjunction with the Navy. And
yeah, it's the best recruitment video you could have.
Right.
I mean, you watched the original Top Gun again recently. Yeah. I've seen it many, 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 many times, but I only just realized when I watched it again a few weeks back, in the middle of the locker scene, there is a giant poster on the wall that says, be all you can be, or whatever, forgive me, whatever it is, might be the Army slogan.
Yeah.
And that's not there for the pilots, is it? The characters, they're already in the Navy.
I know.
That is basically a sign saying, you're watching this. Hey, audience member, come join us. And so I'm sure the Navy are like, well, we're getting all this free advertising. We don't need you to pay for it. It'll be fine.
Yeah. There was an incident like that in this movie. You've seen it, right?
I've only seen it right through once, though.
So you know the opening, one of the opening scenes when he comes in and they want his assessment of something, right? And he's in that kind of conference room area with John Hamm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The way they frame the shot, now this is in the 240:1, the way they frame the shot, it's kind of awkward because they have the monitor that he's watching up on the wall. So that's taking up probably 2/3 of the left side of the screen. He's kind of like in the middle, maybe covered off, you know, off center, right, a little bit. And then, but it's almost like you look at it and you go, United States Navy. There's just a sign right next to the monitor that you're like, are they framing this to get all three of those in? Or because they could easily have centered it, like had him off to the right and had the monitor kind of centered. And they do at times, but there's a few shots where you're like, United States Navy. It's like this placard or something on the wall. And to your point, like, they all know they're in the Navy. They know where they are. What the hell is this doing on the wall in a conference room? It's pretty funny.
Yeah, quite. I mean, it's directly, isn't it? It's saying, be all you can be. Come and join us. We'll give you our planes. You give us our next 10 years worth of recruits.
Yeah.
Although, tell me what you think. Do you think you'd have the guts day one, basic training in the Navy, to say, yeah, I'm here because I really like Top Gun?
Well, I was thinking that. So did you hear the podcast, Jocko Willink's podcast, where he has on a Top Gun pilot? I'll send you the link. It's really good. It's only about a half hour long, and I believe he's the only pilot right now that's qualified on all the planes all the way up to today. Like, he's done the F-35, and you'd have to, I don't know the lingo like Todd Anderson does, and he knows the planes inside and out, but he says the reason he joined was the original Top Gun. And he's he goes, that's part of it. And he goes, this is a huge recruiting thing. He goes, think about it. He goes, the kids watching this today are 14 years old. He goes, 10 years from now, they're those pilots. And he goes, short of it. He goes, it feels like it's a long way away. He goes, but it's that big of a turn and it's that big of an influence. And to that point, I'm wondering, like, how many times now when you get into the Navy, are you like, is the Navy saying you're not going to be Maverick? how much do they have to beat out of people? Because you got guys like, I saw this in a movie once. Like, yeah, that ain't going to happen.
you're on an aircraft carrier. Good news, bad news. You're working in the mess.
Yeah.
You're going to be wiping down the tables.
How do you feel about mashed potatoes?
Yeah. And how many of those people then, when they get shore leave, go into a bar in their whites and then say, I'm in the Navy. I can't tell you what I do. Of course, it's wiping tables and just get people to assume it's, I'm an F-35 pilot.
Exactly.
Not so much you've lost that loving feeling as you've lost that potato peeling.
Yeah, exactly. Not a lot of Kelly McGillis is around the corner for you.
No, well, quite, yeah. But it, you know, it, but it's such a cool film. I am looking forward to it. But
it is.
I'm going to have to get the digital one. It's too long a wait. I can't wait for the 1st of November. And yeah, as I said, I'll watch it time and time again, which will make the money worth it, and then buy the physical disc. I've already pre-ordered it, as I'm sure we all have.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. And then the other thing I've seen after we're talking about the 5 days in Memorial was She-Hulk as well. I watched that again on the iPad. Better to be honest about it than to try and pretend that I've seen it.
My television with me
under my arm. Yeah. It's just, I paid for several seats just for the TV. Yeah. I think it was Omar. Wasn't it Omar on Twitter that put hashtag no cinema George?
Yeah.
I think he did.
Yeah.
I need to adopt that. I think he did.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I enjoyed that. I thought episode one of that was pretty good. I thought that was quite well done.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching a bit more of that. I think it was, not earth shatteringly good, but still, if you'll forgive the pun, bearing in mind it's Hulk, but it was still, it's okay.
I don't want to give too much away because John and I haven't talked about it yet, but we're about to shortly. And you're kind of echoing our sentiments. It's, but yeah, it was good. I enjoyed the story. One of the things I didn't say with John that I'll say here is that it's another example of them being different, like putting out another series in a different kind of, not really genre, but in a different way, in a different format, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we started with WandaVision, super creative, but then Loki, even Falcon Winter Soldier, not Falcon Winter Soldier, Captain America, whatever. What did they call it? Was it just Captain America?
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That was the movie.
That was that, wasn't it? Yeah. That was the, you had Captain America Civil War, then Falcon and the Winter Soldier was the series, wasn't it? I think. I might be wrong.
No, I think maybe, was it? Oh yeah. Falcon Winter Soldier. Right. Falcon Captain. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking Captain America Winter Soldier, but yeah, you're right. Falcon Winter Soldier. Wow. It's early over here, Steve. but yeah, so even that was more cinema-like in a way, but they all had their own different kind of genres. And now we have in She-Hulk, they're, you know, breaking the fourth wall. It's more of a comedy. I had a lot of fun with it but as far as the cinema goes, like I felt it to be more like a comedy. Right? Like it should be nothing earth shattering or video wise.
Yeah. Well, I saw it on the iPad and in fact on the plane, I watched it actually. But again, with the AirPod Maxes on, which so the noise canceling on it was brilliant. Yeah. Really, really good. It's like you're in a library, you know, it's great.
That's awesome.
But I enjoyed it. I think from what I got from it was that it's not massive home cinema, at least not yet. I think the scale of this is very small. And I think that's going to be quite deliberate. But I appreciate there is now a subgenre of lawyer superheroes. You know, we've got Daredevil, we've got She-Hulk, and obviously, you know, and as a lawyer myself, I've got to approve.
Yeah, there you go.
But
are you more Hulk-like or limber like Daredevil?
Well, some will say I've got a temper like Hulk. But you know, not with clients, obviously. It wouldn't look good.
No. Some would say the same about myself.
Surely.
Surely
not.
Oh yeah.
I don't believe it for a second.
Don't push me, Steve.
Well, you've got a long way to get to me here.
I know.
You're all good.
I'm a quick swimmer.
So that's, I think, all my content for this week. It's limited by definition, but I'm gonna try and finish off 5 days of Memorial. Absolutely loving that. And that is clearly gonna be good home cinema material. The storm stuff in that is fantastic, and even again with the headphones you can sense the movement, and the, you know, the spatial audio on Apple Plus is pretty decent. And so you can get the impression that it's good. So no wonder John recommended it, and you know, that's a solid. By the way, Dog Soldiers, have you had it yet?
I haven't gotten it yet. It's inbound. I was hoping it would be here today on Tuesday, but it wasn't. I think it's supposed to be coming in this weekend. And I was hoping that date was wrong. Like sometimes Amazon will tell you like later and then it just shows up, but it didn't. So as soon as it gets here, I'll let you know though. I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, John hadn't seen it or heard of it either. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm really keen to see what you said. The reviews are very good of the audio, video, and the movie still holds up. I had an email from Amazon yesterday say it's arrived, but of course, you know, 1,500 miles away. I will have to wait till Monday week before I can see it. But I can't wait to see what you make of it. But just be warned, it's very British. So if you have to put the subtitles on, don't beat yourself up about it.
You keep saying they speak English, Steve.
Yeah, but they do it in a very, very, very slang way. There's no attempt to make it more approachable. I mean, you remember the stories of Trainspotting, how they, because of the way they spoke, they had to have subtitles. And when it was released in America, there were a number of showings of it that had subtitles on them. And so don't be surprised if you have to do that with Dog Soldiers, because it is very colloquial at times. But boy, is it good. And I said, I can't wait to see what you guys think of it. Who knows? It might be better than Top Gun.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
It won't.
Oh, my. Yeah. I'm just glad. I have Top Gun pretty much almost as the movie of the year already. And I'm like, thank God it comes out in November. Cause I'm like, I'm looking at it now and I'm like, I know most people aren't getting it until November, but yeah, it's okay. So
it's got to be Dog Soldiers
number two, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I can but hope. I just hope it's better than Malignant for you. Then I'll feel okay. Cause I feel like I owe you a good film at the moment.
No, not at all. It is a different, it is inside the genre. That's not my favorite anyways. So, it is horror. Mm-hmm. So, but Steve, you never have to worry. You're the one that turned me around on Invisible Man.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So
okay.
You do have that. Yeah. And it's like, hey. All right.
Okay.
I will let you get back to your holiday. get back to that beautiful weather behind you. And the air conditioning. Enjoy that, while you can. Yes. Bag some up and bring it home.
Great idea. I wish I could. That sounds brilliant.
So when we talk next week, you'll still be in Spain again, correct?
Yep. Okay. But I'll have seen a bit more, and so we'll have some stuff to talk about. And I've got some ideas for maybe being able to find some 4K content, because there are discs here that are not available anywhere else, including True Lies on Blu-ray and things like that. So, you know, there is definitely stuff here for me to find if I can find it. Let's have a little chat about that next week. And hopefully Dog Soldiers, if you've seen it by then. Let's see how we go.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Steve. See you next week.
Bueno, muchas gracias.
And we're back.
Okay. We're back. Okay. I'm just sitting here having my drink.
Yeah. Sucking on your big Top Gun cup. Couldn't think of the word there for a second. My words failed me. It's not easy with the words, you know.
No, they are. Oh God. Oh man, that's good.
Yeah. I don't even big order. Top I Gun cup.
Okay, so that reminds me, we had another entry this month. I forgot to mention it in listener experiences. We had another entry this month into our contest.
I think so. Now you have a 50-50 chance of winning.
Next week's the last week. Yeah. <Right. laughs> No, it's the same guy. No. No, I'm just kidding. No, this one's from Joe, my IT guy. He I don't know if he DM'd me or he texted me the picture, but he got a screen grab. He screen grabbed my emotional moment. And he's like, look, I erased down below you. And like, he made it look like on the screen, like where my name is and stuff underneath us.
Right.
Like it was erased away. And he goes, this is what happened. And there were a bunch of onions. He had a bunch of onions in there. I was like, that's pretty cool. So he's actually getting creative. He's actually adding art to it. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. We're up to two. And it's not a 50-50 because it's going to get voted on. So if we only have two, oh, I just true. Put them out yeah. and then be like, let the listeners decide.
It's not random.
It's yeah. not random. It's... No, because I want to pick the best one.
Right.
So, yeah. So next week would be the last week for August, right? Because next week is the...
yes.
I'm pretty sure. Today's
the 20th. It's the 30th. Yeah. Yeah, so it's the 30th.
So next week's the last week. So get your screen grabs in. Unfortunately, they're not audio grabs. Otherwise, you'd have John talking about like something about Tom. I don't know.
Yeah. As, his big cup.
His big, yeah, his cup. Yes, his big cup. We're going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
You got me all discombobulated.
This is a PG show, DJ.
Yeah, I'm not the one.
Don't be bringing all that stuff to this show.
Yeah, I know. This ain't Bright Side After Dark.
Right.
All right. What do we got next coming up here? We got, oh, here we go. Some 4K releases. Short amount this week. We have, first up, we have the Miami Connection. I don't know. Have you ever heard of this?
Never heard of that one.
Me neither. So, excuse me. Sorry about that. The Miami Connection is from 1987. Looks, I looked at some pictures of it and stuff. It looks like a total like 80s.
They're trying
movie.
To capitalize on the Miami Vice craze.
It looks it too. Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. got, you know, looks like it's got some martial arts to it. And it, I don't know. It looks like break dancing maybe somewhere in there. Not sure.
Nice.
So, and, but this one I actually am interested in. 4K, UHD, Blu-ray, combo pack, collector's edition, Cat People. You remember this one?
Nastassja Kinski.
Yes. Malcolm McDowell, too. Malcolm yeah. McDowell, Annette, is it Annette O'Toole? Something like that. But Cat People. Yeah, really, I, you know. We grew up
I mean,
in the 80s.
I haven't seen that movie in 30 years, but...
I don't know how good the movie is. I just know when I was that age.
I don't
age,
either. I just remember...
watching Natasha. Yeah. yeah, Nastassja.
Nastassja.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Nastassja Kinski and... Yeah. Just... I'll buy it. I'll buy that.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
I even like the cover they have here. It's you know, the red... tree red background the trees with the
eyes right
yeah with her eye with the yeah. cat yeah it's awesome
yeah
awesome.
Remember that from the poster back in the day
yeah exactly yeah I love that so good let's see what else we got this one here Bell oh yeah and Cat Peoples was from 82
yeah
yeah I didn't know it was
I
that old
because I probably yeah. haven't seen it since about 84
yeah
85
HBO
somewhere around there
Cinemax
yeah, whenever it was
whatever.
On Whenever it was on HBO.
Yeah. This one here is Belle from 2021. It's a, I think it's Japanese animation. So I okay. can't say I'm interested. But and then we have the first new horror creature, The Incredible Melting Man, John, from 1977.
All right.
Weren't you just talking about this the other day?
The Incredible Melting Man? I think that's me in Texas right now, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
All summer
no,
long.
I hadn't heard of that one. And then another one from 1987, Faceless in 4K. I'd never heard of this Faceless. One.
I would say I don't think I've heard of that either.
Yeah, me neither. So that's what we got coming out next Tuesday. So
awesome.
I'm looking forward to Cat People, definitely.
Yeah.
I'll be grabbing that.
And the movie too.
Didn't you just tell me? Didn't
did,
you just yell at me?
I mean, you left it right on the tee for me.
I know, and you could have walked away from the tee box, right?
I
could
have
just walked away.
That is not in my nature. You know. You know that.
Gone to the clubhouse. So. Yeah. I set them up, you knock them down.
That's it.
Oh, can we get to some real home theater experiences, John?
Sure.
All right. Before we get to the real home theater experiences, let's talk about our listeners' home theater experiences. They've got some scenes for us, and we've been backed up for a week here. Victor comes at us with, "Hi, DJ. I know you're busy, but real quick, don't worry about it. It's a podcast. have you seen Making Waves, The Art of Cinematic Sound? This is a great documentary about the history of movie sound. It's currently on Epix if you're subscribed, or with commercials on Tubi TV. Maybe share this with the listeners or not. What do you think?" I just shared it with the listeners. That's what I think. Right. I think it's great. Yeah, I'll check that out. That sounds really good. Making Waves, The Art of Cinematic Sound. That sounds like it's right up all of our alleys.
Yeah.
John, leave that in the tee box. Stand by for security. Hunter kill. Check out the, G. Cornell, check out the interesting use of height speakers at 602. This is in Hunter Killer, I think. Captain Joe Glass, Butler's cell phone rings with a brief message, and then we hear a chopper approaching. Before it is in view, we hear the chopper from the height speakers and not the back speakers. Or the bed speakers, I'm sorry. When the chopper is in view, we hear the sound from the bed speakers and not the height speakers. When it is in view again, the sound is from the height speakers and not the bed speakers. Okay. And the title of this is Standby for Secure Transmission from Fleet Forces, Hunter Killer. I'm not sure what that is. I think that's what this movie is, but
It probably comes from the movie. I don't think I've seen that movie. So.
At 9:05, when he is at sea and speaks to the crew for the first time using the ship's intercom, when not on screen, we hear his voice from the height speakers and not the bed speakers. When he is on screen, we hear his voice from the bed speakers and not the height speakers. So, the height speakers. So there's a couple, it sounds like Atmos variations. Right. This one from Johnny Speakers tweeted, "At Brightside HT, Sonic 2 needs to be put in the consideration for audio disc of the year. Great use of height channels through the whole movie and tons of quality bass." Yes, absolutely. I will put it in consideration. But I got news for you. On November 1st, you're going to say it lost. Although I will say one thing, getting to that, both Paramount flicks, by the way, Paramount movies, right. The bass in Maverick, there's not as many of those big, punchy, like Sonic has it put to some stuff that's like really like those explosions you get at when you go to the fireworks and you get that one right. And it just goes right, that one, boom, really. Sonic has a ton of those, Sonic 2, I mean. And Maverick has more nuanced bass. Still very punchy, very vibrating through your seat. Even Jen noticed that in the small scene that I gave her. And like I said, when Top Gun shows up, but I think the way they do it in Maverick is just more artistic, I think.
Right.
Let's see. "Hey, DJ, heard you read my letter on Tuesday's show. Pretty cool. As you mentioned, Rob and Tom were instrumental in guiding me through the C-Den cinema. This week, my son and I watched Lawrence of Arabia 4K disc. I have only seen it on TV before. So this is quite the upgrade. Right. So this was really my first time getting the full experience watching on a 110-inch screen. I can finally understand the brilliance of the film. I was mesmerized by the visuals. All the scenes of the desert and the sound was great for a 60-year-old film. Alec Guinness was so amazing as Prince Fasai that it took me about 2 hours to figure out which character Guinness was playing. We watched it over two nights due to its length, and it was truly amazing. You cannot watch this film on a normal TV and fully appreciate it. It screams projection system." That Lawrence of Arabia is one of those ones that we all kind of grew up watching it. If you've never seen it, you saw it on your...
But you watched it on a TV.
Right? And you probably have pretty subdued colors. And this thing looks like my memory right now of watching the 4K disc. You know what jumps to mind, which is going to sound so funny because talk about a contrast? Sonic.
Oh, yeah?
It was that vibrant. Like, it is that insane. Like, because Sonic has the color, the video game colors and stuff, right?
Exactly.
Maverick is very similar too. Has a lot. I mean, it's a very vibrant picture. But when you think vibrancy, that's right now fresh in my mind is Sonic 2. And when you're watching Lawrence of Arabia, even the cheekbones and stuff, the colors, and like you said, the desert sands and everything, so vibrant and so beautiful, and the contrast to what you saw when you were a kid, or the last time you saw it on a, you know, 14-inch color television, something like that. So, big, big difference. Let's see. Oh, we got, how did I get, check out interesting news. Oh, Mike Schramm, you weren't kidding about the DTSX mix in Psycho. This is awesome. Yes, it is. Very much so. Glad you're enjoying it, Mike. Jurassic World Dominion from G. Cornell. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. What did he say about it? Have you seen Born in DTSX? Yes, I have. And that is also amazing. Sonic 2 did that one. DJ, have you heard on it too? Here we go. Back up to speed. Anyone else experiencing audio issues? Here's one. HD Report tagged us, said, anyone else experience audio issues with Jurassic World Dominion on the 4K Blu-ray? This happened twice during the movie. The only way to get rid of it is to stop and resume the movie, not pause. And no, it hadn't happened to me. We talked, I asked him what he was using for a player, and the only thing I can speculate is this is what happens with a three-layer disc. So Jurassic World Dominion is a 100-gigabyte disc, and that means it has three layers, and some of the lesser players, and he happens to have a Sony, you know, $250 player. I can't remember the number, but I looked it up, and I'm like, that's still a good player, but doing my research, or in my research, those are some of the players. It needs to be a $400 or $500 player where these things, the quality goes up enough that they have no trouble with the three layers. And this gets into that whole, why does Disney do 6 gigabytes, you know, only 66 gigabytes and all of that. So, but yeah, I hadn't had the issue, and I haven't heard of anybody with a Panasonic, you know, 820 or even a 420 have that issue. So it could, I think it most likely is the player having trouble with the layers on the disc. Jurassic World, another Jurassic World comment from WV Brew says, at Brightside HT, reference DTSX track, amazing work, one of the best, if not the best. Yes. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. And let's see, WV Brew. I listened to the same scene with the Atmos track on Apple TV, and the DTSX sounded way better to me. Richer, fuller, and more dynamic. Again, that's how it sounded to me. I love the audio on this disc. And that comes from Mark V. And very, very important distinction people need to remember. When you're streaming Atmos, that's not even close to being equal to the Atmos that's on the discs. It's actually a different codec unto itself. It's a different version of Atmos. I believe it's Dolby Digital into Atmos, right? Where it's...
Yeah, it's still lossy Atmos.
Yeah. And so that's like comparing those isn't... That's not a fair comparison. Well, I wouldn't say you're always going to lose. I would say right now you would, but maybe in the future they can actually get lossless through there. I don't know. But as of right now, that's not close. And what we're going to be talking about later is, you know, a one-for-one version because it's the full lossless Atmos and the full lossless DTSX. So, yeah, but that's very important. You can't compare. Even Atmos on a disc to Atmos streaming isn't a fair comparison. Right. Continuity error. This is funny. John, you'll like this because this is right up your alley.
Yeah.
This is your kind of... viewing. G. Cornell. At 29:55, Sam Neill watch shows 9:55 a.m. when he is told, you have to see this. This is Jurassic World Dominion. At 30:44, or 49 seconds later, so his watch should be just about 9:56 a.m., He offers Laura Dern a beer. She says it's a little early for a beer at 10 a.m. So far, so good. At 30:46, which is now 51 seconds from his watch showed 9:55. His watch is now 10:14 a.m. as he pours her beer into a jar. DJ, that's 18 unaccounted for minutes.
Yep.
Time advanced, but they didn't. A time portal, perhaps? Okay, G. Cornell, you're watching a little too closely.
It's a blip. Yeah, I might not have even noticed that, honestly.
But it's like, that, my friend, is not considered a continuity error. A continuity error would be like, he poured her a beer, and now it's dark outside.
Right.
That would be a that'd be like 18 minutes. Maybe they had a little conversation over there, and they just cut it out of the show, out of the movie. You don't know. Things happen. So those were the scenes that we had stamped this week, John, from the listeners.
Awesome.
All right. Real home theater experiences, John. Let me fire up the projector here. And why don't you go first? I've been doing all the talking.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, I have almost nothing. I just put these two on here just so I had something.
Yeah.
Because I watched a lot of TV this week.
Just not home theater stuff.
Nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing felt like it was, like a home theater experience worth talking about. And even this, I guess I'll use my second one first.
Yeah. Yeah.
We both have She-Hulk.
Yep.
So I had the Sandman dropped a surprise bonus episode last week, which was really cool. And it was awesome, but I don't have anything additional to say about it that I didn't say about the Sandman already, because it's just more of the same.
Right.
You know, it's just another episode of the Sandman. Now, this was, I don't even know if you finished the
No, I haven't yet.
Series yet.
I'm trying to pace myself because I absolutely love it.
So you definitely haven't gotten to the bonus episode, but this is actually two episodes, like two 30-minute episodes. Although I think the first one is, I think the first one was about 20 minutes, and then the other one was about 40 minutes. They weren't quite equal.
Okay.
In the first one is animated, so it is a little different because you're getting an animated style, but it still had the sound. You know, it still had everything that you got from the original Sandman, and then the second half of it was a live action, basically almost a standalone episode. It felt like a full length episode. And what's funny about it is because like now I'm reading the comic and I just finished like issue 16 last night, which really ended where season one ended. So it was pretty much 16 issues it took for one season. But then the very next episode is the short that they had on the bonus episode.
So oh, nice.
They went right into right into the next little story. So I don't know where this goes comic wise. It was sort of its own little self-contained episode for this, but I don't know if the character ever shows up again because I haven't read that far in the comics.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. But again, great experience. But if you're already watching the show, it's not really anything different than the first 10. You know?
Yeah, but you're bringing awareness that there's another episode that dropped, John.
Yeah, because not everybody knows that,
right?
Honestly.
I know.
I mean, I wouldn't have known either. It showed up on Just Watch because, you know, I've been using that app.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, wait, why is it showing the Sandman here?
Yeah.
And then I saw that it said episode 11. I was like, well, that's weird. And I wouldn't have even known about it if it wasn't for that. So.
Speaking of which, our buddy Dan, who lives in a couple towns over from us, from me anyways, I say us because I feel like we're connected.
I'm pretty far away.
But he said, hey, DJ, he goes, I have a router you or John can have to try out a VPN if you want.
Oh.
And it's kind of his wheelhouse, too. He's an IT guy.
Well, it's easier for you to have because he'd have to mail it to me.
Well, I'd mail it. I wouldn't make him do it.
But
I
am interested in trying it.
All right. See, I'm still afraid to mess up my house.
No.
My system. Because I have all this. Yeah, but if I go down, we all go down. Right.
Right. That's true.
If you go down, it's like I can have you on your iPhone and I can still host the show. Right.
Or, you know, I can just unplug it and
true,
go back to my other setup.
True.
So
stop being logical.
Yeah. But yeah, well, yeah, well, we'll talk about it a little bit off air, because I mean, you don't have to mail it to me either. I'll pay for it. But I am interested in giving it a,
okay,
you know.
All right. Did you hear that, Dan? Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I wish I could keep everything local, but my brain just, hey, look, Dan talked to me the other day. Just thought of it. Okay, so She-Hulk, we haven't talked about that yet. Sandman, I'm sorry. That's what we just talked about.
Sandman, bonus episode.
Yep.
More of the same. Really good.
Yes, it is. And that's what I think is funny, is something like Sandman comes out, and what did I say last week? I'm like, this is some of the best 4K HDR. They're using it artistically. They're using it appropriately. Right. It looks absolutely fantastic. Then an article comes out. This looks horrible. This looks horrible on my SDR television that hasn't been calibrated. It's like,
which, again, the answer to that is not what we want to hear, but, like, I don't want Netflix to see something like that and feel like they're pandering to the wrong audience, you know, because we're the smaller audience. And if the majority of their customers are getting a bad experience, do they just quit bothering, you know?
I don't think so, because I don't think they know what a good experience is. So I don't think they would do that, because that's what's in the article as well, is that Netflix has specific cameras that have to, they can only, if you're making a Netflix production, it has to use these cameras. You're allowed to have X amount of scenes outside of their cameras in like a certain percentage can be used by something else. And so basically this article is saying, and they're saying it in the negative, but they're saying everything that I've been saying all along, like, they know how to shoot HDR. They know they're going to be putting this thing out through streaming. So we have to shoot this in a contrast that's going to really take advantage of HDR through streaming. And what's funny is when you compress that down even further to SDR, those people suffer. But who cares? Honestly, because I don't think most of them know. They wouldn't even.
Right.
If they cared, they'd get the 4K. Right. And to the point that I think there's a bunch of our listeners that also have the SDR, but their televisions are calibrated, right? So they don't care because they're getting it correctly. I think once you compress this thing down and ruin it, or not ruin it, but crush it a little more, if your television isn't correct, it's not going to look right. And like all your regular SDR, like watching the news is going to, well, that's what life's supposed to go like. Because how many people come home with the television and they calibrate it by the news or by watching the football game?
Right.
Which is funny, because we all did that when we were kids, but which is funny because the NFL, they bump up the vibrancy to give you that more dynamic picture, because then when you go to the actual field and go, that grass isn't that green.
Yeah.
And that's live.
Like that.
Like, when you're there, it doesn't look that green.
And right, you're looking at it in real life and going, this is wrong.
Yeah.
You're like,
that's not
what it looks like on my TV.
Right, exactly. So that I would imagine that the people at Netflix are like, look at these idiots. They think that's wrong. No. All right. Let's see. What do I want to go with first? Let's do Batman Begins. I finished that. Okay. Absolutely. Cause I said, weeks ago I started that and finished it. Did I watch that on the other system? I think I might have started it on the other system.
I don't think you had it before. Yeah, it was before you had the separates and all that stuff.
I think, but it is,
pull up the notes.
Talk about some punchy bass. It's like really, really good. A lot of fun. I mean, that's Christopher Nolan, right? But
yeah,
I've given it some time. I've taken in a lot of the Batman over the last few months, you know.
Right.
Like you said, most people take it in once. But getting back to this, it's the sound, the cinematography, the picture, really, it's so good. I'm actually going to roll right on into, you know, The Dark Knight, and then probably do that trilogy in the coming weeks to a month or so. But, Batman Begins, really, really good home theater, really great home theater experience. I'd honestly forgotten how great it really is, to be be honest with you.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, John, what would you say if I told you I watched Wonder Woman 1984?
I would ask what was wrong with you. But I know that you did because I saw your notes before we started.
Yeah, I know. I didn't ask you to guess.
But now, did you buy that? Did you watch this on Kaleidoscape? I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
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 So.
Oh, yeah. I
mean, probably not bad as far as the experience goes, though.
No. Comparatively, it's not very good, though. Even
oh really?
For something that the most vibrant thing I felt was the cover art. Like once you're into the movie, I felt like it was a little bit subdued. Compared to other stuff that I've seen, especially lately. I bought it a while ago. It didn't come with a package, but when they Kaleidoscape offers like deals like $4.99 complete if you buy six or more or whatever. So for the price of like two movies, you can get all the DCs, right? So I went click, 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 click. And I almost didn't buy it, right? And then I was like, why not? I did enjoy it. But it's not as good as the first Wonder Woman.
I can't even say that, but
right. Okay. But it was pretty good. It was pretty good. But compared to the stuff that's out right now, it's not as good. And the reason I watched this week was because of the variable aspect ratio that Maverick was going to have, and I wanted to experience that. But I knew Wonder Woman had the variable aspect ratio, but I'd forgotten it really doesn't, because its variable aspect ratio is it opens in IMAX and it closes in IMAX. Everything in the middle?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. it's an Oreo. It literally is. Like if you look at an Oreo, there you go. You put your bars up and there you go. But yeah, it's... It really is, because that's the only time I can't think of an instance in the movie. Maybe the battle at the end? I forget now. But yeah, it kind of opens up at the end with the Linda Carter and everything. Spoilers.
Right.
That's it. And the opening scene is spectacular in IMAX, in the IMAX Enhanced.
Yeah, that's the big battle scene, right?
Yeah.
On Themyscira?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Not the battle, the training at the beginning.
Oh, the training.
The training. When she's young Diana Prince is doing her thing. I wanted to take that and get my eyes used to some variable aspect ratio. I should have actually gone and watched Aquaman, but I didn't because I just watched that recently a few weeks ago. Let's see. What else do we have? Let me do one more before we do that one. Oh, here's one. How come you haven't done this one? I was surprised to see you didn't have
seen it.
What's that?
Because I haven't seen it.
I know. You didn't watch House of the Dragon? House of the Dragon?
No, I haven't had a chance. I'll watch it tonight when we're done.
You do want to see it, though, right?
No, I'll watch it tonight when we're done. I just haven't had an opportunity to watch it. I'm kind of dying to see it, but I just haven't been able to.
I watched that. Jen and I watched it. Really enjoyed it. Okay, yeah. I enjoyed the story. I think it gets you right back into the Game of Thrones world. It's got enough information in there. They just even in this is called the pilot episode to get you going. It just like you'd be like, oh yeah, yeah. And I'm sure there's even more for people that are huge Game of Thrones fans. I'm sure there's even more information in there. Really good story. I mean, both of us are enjoying it. Looking forward to next week. Home theater wise, great. For HBO Max or anybody, this is up there. I'm not saying it's the best, but we've been pretty much knocking HBO Max for quite a while for their quality of picture quality and sound quality. Their Atmos here is pretty good streaming Atmos, and their 4K is really good. I was impressed. I might be a little bit more impressed just because it is HBO Max, but. Right.
Grading on the curve.
Yeah, kind of, but but good is good. And there were some dark scenes here. And if anybody's paying attention on Twitter or anybody's on Twitter, I did watch a bunch of scenes from Game of Thrones to try and see, because it came out and they released the entire series in 4K with Atmos. Yeah. And it looks and sounds really good. I watched the very first episode because that's the one I know the most, or I've probably seen the most times.
Or season 8, episode 3.
Yes, and it looks really, really good. And that, it obviously it's not as good as the 4K disc, as the physical disc, but it looks and sounds really, really good. Like those dragons flying over and you're looking down and you can actually see all the characters, as opposed to when this first aired on regular cable TV or stream, and you're like, and it was regular 1080p, and you're like, there were people down there? You didn't even know.
I almost pulled the trigger on that disc set yesterday because Amazon had it for Amazon had it for a great price, but
I pulled off. It is.
Although I haven't checked if it's still on deal today, I might still pick it up.
Yeah, it's. I have the box set. And it's funny. People on Twitter were like, DJ, it's available here for this price. Because I said I started watching it on HBO Max.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no. Like,
I already have it.
I already have it. And then I'm sorry. I forget who the listener was that said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, don't apologize. You just give great information, because he tweeted out the price and everything. I'm like, oh, no, just because I already have it doesn't mean other people don't.
Well, like I said, I almost bought it because of that yesterday.
Yeah. See? So. Yeah. No, yeah. I can't wait to hear what you think of the story and stuff. But the Atmos and the 4K, really good on that one. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it. Like I said, I just had busy couple days. So.
And all right, you want to talk about, let's talk about She-Hulk.
Sure.
What'd you think?
Well, obviously, only one episode, right? Yeah. I mean, I loved it. As far as the show, like, I loved the show. I thought it was awesome. Thought it was super funny. Love the direction they're going with it. I thought it looked great. I mean, I thought it looked fantastic. The CGI I thought was pretty good.
That I did.
They definitely did some tweaks to like the original images and kind of trailer that came out, because she looked a lot better. But I found the audio was just, again,
meh.
Subpar.
Yeah.
It was Disney Plus audio. I didn't watch it at full reference. Actually, I might have actually watched it at full reference level and not even noticed it.
But here's the thing. Was there anything in there that it needed to be that way?
Maybe though? the car crash. Not the spoilers, but maybe the car crash at the beginning. And then some of the, maybe like throwing the boulders. I mean, there was a couple of times where it could have
been
there. But yes, this was kind of, it was very much just a, hey, we're going to stand around and talk a lot, so it might not have needed a bunch, but
there was a couple of
scenes where she, where she kind of broke out of the lab or, I don't want to spoil too much if you haven't seen it, but.
Well, there's action sequences.
But yeah, the audio was just,
meh.
Just there. Yeah. It was not great. But the show was fantastic. I really liked it. Yeah. Looking forward to what they do with it. And like I said, I thought it looked great. Super vibrant. Like, again, the HDR, everything looked fantastic. So
I thought the character, the Hulks.
Both of them looked great.
They look really good. Yeah. I loved. We're getting a little behind the scenes on what happened in the past behind the scenes that we didn't know about.
Right.
I really like the story. I like the it's slight deviation, which you get in an MCU, but it's...
As far as what? Her origin?
A little bit,
Because it is, it is a little different, you know, from the comics origin. I mean, essentially it's the same, but the delivery method is different.
That's what I mean, I thought was good, because they actually put it into the MCU.
Right.
Right, because I don't know if they could pigeonhole the other one in. So it doesn't really work, but you're right. The CGI on her looked great. I actually thought I felt almost the same about the picture quality as I did the sound, because I thought the CGI looked good and everything was vibrant, but I kind of expect that there wasn't anything. Right. Maybe that's because I'm so used to like I'm so engrossed with Sandman right now.
Right.
And you're like, because Sandman is so artistic, this is not. Right. This is a comedy.
It's not.
This is like saying Dumb and Dumber needs Atmos. No.
Right.
It's like, but it's still good, and it is still good. It's a decent home theater experience. this isn't one that I'd go, might as well watch it upstairs. I still want to watch it in my theater, right? Because you want those big hulks on your big screen, right? Right. So, I mean, there are shows, and that's how I do, I look at stuff. Like, I don't watch television in my theater, right? You have you're a living room theater.
See,
you
I
have
do, everything. Because it's my living room. But there are shows where, you know, I don't mind just going and watching them in the bed. That, you know,
exactly.
It's like, hey, let's just go to bed and we'll watch this, you know, in the bedroom. There's a few shows, like, any network show I'll watch in the bedroom. You know, I don't care about watching Grey's Anatomy or whatever on my projector. But honestly, it's even, because even in my bedroom, it's a 77-inch TV, so it's pretty big. It's more the sound that I don't want to give up, you know, if I go into the bedroom, because I don't even have a sound bar in there. It's literally just TV speakers.
Yeah.
So if I don't want to give up the sound, then I watch it in the theater or in the living room.
Yeah.
But anything like I said, that's a network type of show, we'll just watch in the bedroom or whatever. So,
yeah. Like, it was funny. And that was part of the whole, like, aspect ratio thing we were talking about on Twitter today. And my buddy Travis, he's like, he goes, I don't like my movies to be the same size as Wheel of Fortune. Okay.
Right.
So I don't watch Wheel of Fortune in my theater. That's how I avoid that. It's like,
right.
You know, and it's like, I won't do that, but I know what he's saying. It's like, and I know, I get it.
But yeah, I still watch 90% of my TV on the 123-inch screen. So
yeah. Well, it is your living room.
Yeah. There's a lot of times I'm just watching YouTube videos and stuff, and I'm like, this doesn't technically have to be 123 inches, but it's just my default because that's where I watch most of my TV.
Right. Exactly. You know. Exactly. So, but yeah, that's how I look at stuff like this. I don't, if I watch it in my theater, I talk about it. And I only watch movies and movie style stuff in my theater. Theater worthy, right?
Is it bulb worthy? That's the thing, because.
There you go. Exactly. That's, exactly. Exactly. All right. So that was She-Hulk. What else do we have? You're done. I have
I'm done.
My last one here before we get to, did I tell you I saw Maverick?
You might have mentioned it at the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's your shirt gave it away, really.
I'm wearing
the big Top Gun cup.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm wearing this thing.
Did you save that? You saved that from when you went to the movies?
Yes. Yeah, it's got a plastic filter. It's got
Okay, I thought it was just the cardboard cup.
No, that's plastic. I got the cup. See? But yeah. No, I'm wearing this. I got this shirt. I got the Iceman shirt. It's the exact same shirt, just says Iceman.
Yeah.
You guys have seen it, but yeah. Right now we're on HD experience, so nobody can see the bottom part of my shirt, but but yeah. So yeah, Maverick, really good. Really good. Really enjoyed it. So
yeah.
I think I still have seen it more times today than I've talked about it. One more, and this seems like a while ago I watched this, but last week I took in Predators. The Predators, which is what, the third or the fourth in the line? Something like that. Depends on how you look at it. But yeah, Predators with Adrian Brody. But on Kaleidoscape, it's in 4K. Nice. And if you look it up, it says it has a listing for the 4K on Blu-ray.com, but it doesn't have a date. No release date yet. So it is coming. But it has the same audio as the Blu-ray. The 1080p Blu-ray has the same audio as the Kaleidoscape, which is the DTS Master Audio 5.1.
Right.
And it was a really good home theater experience. I enjoyed it. Nice HDR, brought you back to, you know, similar to the original, you know, Predator being in the jungle. Have you seen that one? Or you said you hadn't seen that one yet?
I mean, I might have seen it, but I don't really remember it, honestly.
They all kind of get dropped in a jungle and they don't know. You'd know if you saw it. Lots and lots of ambient sounds throughout the movie and nice bass explosions. But that was about it. There wasn't, like, when I go through these movies now for these shows, unless I'm going to be breaking it down, and I know I am, stuff like this. You've seen my notes and stuff. It's like if something really jumps out to me, I need to get that down. And there really wasn't much throughout this movie. It's a good movie. It's a fun movie. It's a fun 80s flick. And it's not right. an 80s flick, but they kind of like fashioned it that way.
Made it feel that way.
Yeah. It was nice. But it's a really good HD experience, home theater experience. But it's not one that I'm like, oh, I got to start giving out boxes of popcorn here. So it was just a good experience. And I did enjoy it. I started it at probably 8:30 at night. And I was like, oh, okay. I was engaged the entire time and just went to bed. So it kept me awake later in the evening. So, all right. And I think that's about it, right? And then we're getting to the main topic here. The main event. Oh, I don't know, John. Are we ready for this?
I think I'm ready to hear it because I don't know the results.
Whoo! DTSX versus Dolby Atmos on Jurassic World Dominion. I've never had this. I've never seen this. This is why this is a big deal to me because right. I don't know of any other time where we've had access to, you know, that kind of audio. Usually it's one streaming, one's not. But to have full lossless in both versions. So for this one, what I want to do is I want to, first I'm going to go through what my setup is and tell everybody just so that they know what we're running here and how I compared all this stuff. So, I have my Marantz AV process, 7706 processor. I have a Emotiva XBA 5 Generation 2, an Emotiva Bass X6. I use the Panasonic UBP 820 for the DTSX version. And the Kaleidoscape Terra 12 movie server for the Atmos version. Dual SVS PB2000 subwoofers. Center channel is an NHT C-Series CLCR. The left and right are NHT C-Series C3 three-way bookshelves. All four of my surrounds are NHT Super Zeros. And my four overheads are Yamaha NS IC800 two-way in-ceiling speakers. So for this, I watched the movie in its entirety, both versions. Okay. So I saw the Atmos version and I watched the extended version of the DTSX version. Okay.
Disc.
And I will tell you that after this extensive research, when I started, I preferred the extended version. But now I know the story. I do like the Atmos. I do like the shorter version now because there's, you know, I've seen this movie in the last week. I'd say in its entirety, I've probably seen it four times, maybe five times, just because I went through these scenes so many times. I have three scenes to go through that I used for comparison that I'm going to use here for comparison. And the other thing that I did is after doing these scenes, I was like, I found something and I said, I need to get a second opinion. So I got a second opinion and then I got a third opinion. And our highly professional second opinion and third opinions are my wife, Jen, and my son, Joe. And the first person I brought in was Jen, and she came up with an idea that we ended up going through and doing it blindfolded because now this is about the DTSX and the Atmos, but I labeled these for them, they were doing for all intents and purposes. Well, at the start it wasn't blind, but it became a blind test. Okay.
Right.
So what Jen said was, she goes, I think that one was better, but it's because it's clearer. And they both said it. So when I gave them their first scene, I didn't tell them what I was testing for. I didn't tell them it was a, you know, sound version or anything. I just said, what did you think? And they both said they liked the second one better. And at the time, that happened to be the Kaleidoscape at that time. Right. And it was, it's just slightly clear. And it's, and they both said it's just slightly better. And it's like, after going back and forth, they were like, it's the black levels are just giving you that a little bit more crispness. Right. But you would never, like, if you, like I always say, if you left the house, you'd never notice. But that's not what this was about. So, and then at that point, I told them, this is just about the sound. So we did the blindfolding. Jen actually wore a blindfold. Joe just closed his eyes.
Closed his eyes. Right. Yeah.
Like, but Jen was like, I'm going to do this. And the first one she put on covered her ears. That doesn't work.
Like, that doesn't help.
Yeah, let's go. So they sat in the prime seating. Okay. And let's see. In the first scene. So this first scene that I'm going to go over, this was the one we went most in depth with. This is the one where we got most of our information. To be fair, it was the easiest to do an AB. All right. So this scene is literally the start of chapter 3. The theatrical version, the timestamp is 7 minutes, 22 seconds. The extended version is 11 minutes and 41 seconds. So if you've seen the movie, it's not really a spoiler to tell you what it is. But basically what's going to happen is it's, you know, chapter 3 and it's Chris Pratt comes on. They come over from behind you on horses and they're galloping, chasing, herding dinosaurs. I ran that scene till right before the dinosaurs kind of slipped off a cliff. That's the full scene that I was playing for them.
Right.
And I watched the scene over and over. Probably I, on my own, I did it 7 times each going back and forth. And I was like trying to hear the difference and I'm hearing a difference. And all right. I was like, oh, I can't. I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't sure. And that's when I said, I got to get Jen down here.
Right.
So then she watched it 2 times each. And we found something very interesting. I did the same thing with Joe 2 times each. Then they closed their eyes. And what was interesting was this is what we found, especially in this scene. Okay. And here's the spoiler. They are so dead even that it depends on which one you watched first would make you realize or which one you liked. So when I was doing it by myself, I thought I preferred the DTS:X. I thought I was getting more sound, clearer version of the horses coming over my head. Okay.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, because I was going back and forth so fast, and like I said, it takes me about, I'd say an average of 10 seconds. Sometimes it would be 8 seconds and sometimes it would be like 12. And when I did this scene for Joe, he goes, wow, you've got this down pat. Like, I mean, he was just sitting there and I'm like, here you go. Here's the next scene because it can,
'cause I've done it 7 times.
Well, not only that, it's the beginning of a chapter. All the other ones, you kind of got to fast forward. So once you get the scene, you got to back it up for a few seconds and then you get to go. And so it's a little bit easier. But this is dead on start, dead on end. And it was perfect. And I could really sit there and you could spend 15 minutes and you got a lot of takes back and forth. But what ended up happening was, so in this scene, you have those horses coming over. You're looking for some detail there. But then you get into the herding part and there's a lot of bass, a lot of different thumpings. You've got dinosaurs landing on the ground, you know, feet landing on the ground. You got horses landing on the ground. Then you have also you have Chris Pratt yelling, yeah, yeah, or whatever. So you have that dynamic going. When he swings the lasso over his head, you have that going and you're listening for the right. So all of this is going on and you're listening to these details. And what both of them found was that it was the second one is the one they preferred because on the, I'm sorry. The first one that I have it right here. One sounded cleaner, clearer because you're first getting it right. The second time, because you're used to all of that stuff going on, when that starts to come over, you're not tuned into it yet. Then you reset and you're like, okay, now let's start again. And they both were like, which one was that? And they both of them, both Jen and Joe, did I answer it right? No, there is no right. Tell me what
There's
you
no
like.
Right. Yeah.
But they went back and forth. It didn't matter. They preferred one. Like, all right, I liked that one. Okay, that was DTSX. Okay, that one was better. That was Atmos. Okay, that one was better. That was Atmos. All right, that clearly that one's a better one. That was DTSX. Like, which is it? You know, and it was like, I'm hearing different, and they were trying to hear different things each time, but it really depended on what order you were going in. And the more I did it, the more I found that it was like, it just, which was coming first. And they were like, okay, that one there. And it very, very interesting for that one, for that scene there. So then going in, now they have that information and we're going into the next scene. So the next scene is chapter 11. It's the airborne deterrent system. So this one here I chose because of the Atmos. And this is the scene where they're flying in and you've got some overheads going on with the turret. Like it's an oversized pterodactyl. I can't remember the name of it, but it's out above the plane, right? And you hear it swing by and the clarity that you get overhead and how dynamic it was, and it swoops around the room and like crisscrosses above you in the room. And they both were like, oh, wow. And then I put the other one on and again, back and forth. And this is a fairly short clip. Like I said, the theatrical's at 1 hour, 15 minutes, 57 seconds. Extended is 1:26:38, chapter 11. And I wanted to hear this one because I love the overhead use of overheads here. I thought it was really good. But one of the things that people say about DTSX is that they tend to bump their bass and they also tend to bump their overheads a little bit.
Right.
And in this case, that isn't the case. They sounded identical to me and, right. And to both Jen and Joe. They were like, I don't hear a difference at all. It wasn't even like that wasn't an order thing. It was, they were trying to hear a difference and you couldn't.
Just couldn't hear it.
Yeah. So that one, you know, so scene two, that's the air deterrent system. Scene three. Come here. So this is chapter 14, theatrical, timestamp is 1 hour, 46 minutes, 36 seconds. And the extended is 2 hours, 2 minutes, 43 seconds. This is basically the reenactment of when, what's his name? Jeff Goldblum and the flares in the first one. And he's like, come here. Well, now he does it with a different thing. It's not a flare. You'll see if you haven't seen it. He does the same thing. And the stomping of the, what isn't the T-Rex, it's the bigger version, right? And the stomping feet of that. And you get some really, really nice bass. This is another one where it kind of depended on what order you were going in and what you were going to get. But this one here, I didn't hear a difference. Jen didn't hear a difference. Joe thinks the DTSX was ever so slightly a little deeper bass.
Right.
And to be fair, he picked it out every single time.
Right.
Except for one. He was like, I'm not sure here. And we went through it probably this one here because he was so sure. I was like, I had to go a little further. And then he didn't get it. And he said the DTS Atmos was better. So I'm like, I don't know. But on that right there, I would say maybe the DTS bumped it. But then him and I had a discussion afterwards and we were like, everything, we watched some other scenes too. We watched, you know, a bunch of parts of the movie. I was like, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Not as in depth, but here's the thing, with everything else being so close, it's like, I don't know. And what makes me wonder, are they mixing this twice? You know what I mean? Like, like you make an object based codec. Do you just throw it into a DTSX container or an Atmos? Or are they literally sitting down? Are there two sets of engineers mixing the movie twice? I don't know. For all I know, they put in DTSX and maybe they do bump it, but
I don't know. Cause like, so what's the, from a cost perspective, what's the benefit of mixing it twice? You know, there's no reason to do that. Yeah. Really? It's, I mean, like, oh, we're going to mix this twice so Kaleidoscape can have one. And, like, they don't care when they're making these movies.
No.
So, I don't know what the benefit would be to do that.
Right.
You know?
And the funny thing is, like, Kaleidoscape doesn't get to choose. They get what's given to
them.
They
just get what...
Just like we get what's given to us on disc, they get what's given to them for the Kaleidoscape, right? And if you go on IMDb, you can look down and see the audio codecs available. And a lot of times these movies have like DTSX, Atmos, because they'll mix it theatrically, they'll mix it for home, they'll mix it for this, and they'll have all of the codecs available there. So they're out there. Now, which ones we get where, I don't know if the sound engineers are mixing a different mix. It'd be interesting to hear how these things can be so close. And it's like, and that one scene, like I said, this one scene here, and it is the scene with the little bit of bass.
It's a misprint, and it's really just Dolby Atmos.
I kind of feel that way, and that's what Joe and I were saying. We're like, would you ever know? You would never know. And it's not like, and that's why I wanted to bring Jen down and hear the difference in Maverick and going from, you know, the Kaleidoscape to streaming on Maverick. And she was like, oh my God, there's a difference. Cause she never heard a difference. If you did hear a difference, it was the order that you heard it in. And like I said, on this final one, scene three, it was kind of the order that you hear it in, but it was also what you're listening for. And what was interesting about that is like, when you listen to it with your eyes closed, you realize that they're missing a foot. Like, you're like, you even remember because I did it myself, when your eyes are closed, they show the dinosaur's foot stomping and you feel the bass, right?
Right.
And you feel it stomp when you're looking at Jeff Goldblum's face too. So you're like, it's behind you and your room shakes. And there's one that when you're watching it with your eyes open, that the foot comes down, but there's no stomp. There's no bass on both tracks. Right. There's none. So when you have your eyes closed, you're like, okay, I know that's where that foot comes down. It's pretty funny. Right. But like Joe and I said, we were getting so analytical that it was like, if we crossed our legs, like if you sat in the chair and we sat upright and you had your ankles crossed, right? And your left ankle was over your right ankle. If you switched, you were like, uh-oh, wait a minute, I got to go back. Because what we were looking for here, or what we were trying to tell the difference was it was just that little extra rumble. Like, did my socks move differently in this one than it did in that one? And I hate to say that, but I love that that's what we were doing. You're like, it's that close. And that, to be honest with you, is what DTSX and Atmos are. They are both capable of the exact same thing.
Right.
I think, and I've said it many times in this podcast, I think the reason we all do prefer DTSX is it's almost like a guarantee you're going to get a great soundtrack. Right. Whereas Atmos, we could have Ragnarok or we could have Top Gun Maverick.
Right.
Right. And it's like, there's a lot more Atmos content out there that we're so it kind of skews it. So if there's 1,000 Atmos tracks and 80% of them are good, that means 20% are bad, but there's 100 DTSX tracks out there and 90 of them are good. It's like, or even better, 99 of them are good. There's still more, there's more Atmos out there, but it's just our perception is those negative ones. And I think that's what goes on here. And I'm not saying it's not fair to Atmos because, hey, they're the leader right now. They're the go-to. But they're both capable of great tracks and they're both, they both sound phenomenal. And the DTSX versus Atmos here, I think, let me ask you, what would your vote have been? I should have asked you beforehand what you thought it would be. Well, what would you think would be the leader?
I mean, I would have thought Atmos probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I would have.
So, I mean, I don't have as much experience with both of them, you know, I guess. I don't know.
Well, nobody has as much experience with DTS:X as they do with Atmos. There's just way more Atmos tracks. But
like, I've never done any kind of comparison or, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I...
Yeah. We've never had... Honestly, I can't think of another time we had this available.
Right.
On this equal footing, right? Two physical discs. One's DTS:X, one's Dolby Atmos. Both by the studios, by the way. Right. Okay, so this isn't like it came out in Atmos and then Shout Factory put out their own version.
Exactly.
This is a studios. So this is the most fair comparison that you can probably find. I don't know if Kaleidoscape has another version of another movie in Atmos and a DTS:X. Most of the time, if it's in DTS:X someplace, and we know, actually, it'll be in... if it's in DTS:X, Kaleidoscape would usually just have DTS 5.1. Like the Bournes. The Bourne movies are in 5.1. But on disc, they're in DTS:X. So... Yeah. This is very unusual, and I'd say it's unique because it's the only one. But it is, I'd say it's pretty definitive. They're definitely even. I'd like to get, when you know, schedules provide, I'd like to give Dan the opportunity to check this out. I'd like Nelson to be able to come down and check it out. He could do it at his house, too. He has a Kaleidoscape. He could do that. But I have a few other listeners in the area that, you know, when scheduling provides, this would be a fun, like, A-B test for people to do.
Right.
Of course, we'll report back on that. But yeah, that was it. And it was a lot of fun to do. It really was.
Yeah.
It really was. I was surprised at how I got into it. And, like, I got to get there. And I'm like, you know, I was like, oh, I got to get blindfolds made.
You're right.
Bright side blindfolds. You're right.
I gotta go make them.
I gotta go make blindfolds. Oh, yeah. Get the logos put on the eyes. But, yeah, so. All right. That'll do it. John, are you winded?
I am, man. I'm so tired from this show.
Oh, jeez. What a show. I was so excited for this show. Even before today, like, I knew I was going to be watching Maverick and having fun with that, and I couldn't wait to sit down and talk about it, and I hadn't even seen it yet. Yeah, it's not often that you get that kind of combination. I couldn't wait to report on this. I really couldn't. I was like, that's why I said to Carl, I was like, wait until next week's show, because I knew that's what I had coming. I was like, oh, this comparison is going to be so much fun to talk about. And I thought he's just busting my balls because that's all he ever does. Now, you know, lesson to you, the boy who cried wolf, you know, you bust my balls all the time. Then you ask me a legit question. How am I supposed to know the difference? Especially when all the information's right there. But too funny. All right. That'll wrap it up for this show. Thank you for Steve for all of his efforts coming in. He's on holiday. And we're coming live from, not live. Recorded from Spain.
Yeah. Live on tape.
Live on tape on Friday. But yeah, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you to all the Patreon supporters. I got another email, SVS, still stepping, Nick getting in touch with me today. We're still working on the logistics of that. They are being very proactive in this, which I couldn't be happier about. I don't want to bug them about this stuff. It's not like we have to go super fast with it. It's donations. It's, you know, let's just do it, do it right. Take our time. It should be stress-free. So we're doing that. But yes, thank you to everybody for supporting the podcast. Two ways to support the podcast. Promote the show. Because if you can't afford to promote us for the dollar a month, or you just don't feel comfortable doing that, we may have other ways in the future. But maybe you'll get some. You just keep promoting the show. Tell everybody it's a great place to just chat about the experiences. That's what's different about us over all the other home theater podcasts. Promote the show. The more people, the more dollars, the better. That's great because it's, you know, for every dollar, 50 cents is going to charity. And did we even say that? We crossed the $100 mark. We forgot to mention that earlier.
We didn't mention it, no.
Yeah. We passed the $100 mark a month. We're at $106. And so that means, John, we're splitting $6.
There you go. There you $3. Go. Woo!
Whoa. You're getting 50% here? You barely even talked this week.
Ooh, $1.50.
John, you barely talked this week.
It's not my fault.
I'm paying you by the word, buddy.
Oh, okay.
And you're competing against me.
Yeah. I've already lost.
So, yes, thank you. And that's the other way to support the show. Buck a month, people. Buck a month. That's it. So, I appreciate everybody that stepped up supporting the show, talking, bringing the content to the show. It's great. Having a great time. John and I are having a great time. This has turned into something way more than I ever expected it would be. So, thank you to everybody. Thank you to you, John. And we'll be back next week. More Maverick talk. We have something else coming too, so stay tuned for all that. Lots of big fun. I got lots to do. Lots of fun. So, John.
Awesome.
What do we got to do?
Go push play.
Is right. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.